Welcome to the Salesforce Developer Podcast. My name is René Winkelmeier, and in this podcast, I'm hosting Salesforce Developer Advocates who are going to share insightful stories, new tips, techniques, and everything actually you have to know these days as a Salesforce developer. My guest today is someone who I wanted to have on the podcast really for some time. It is our newest member on the team, Charles Watkins.
Thanks for having me on the pod, René. Really excited.
And I'm really excited to have you here. And when I say newest member, actually, it's nearly, 5 months that you have been here, but it feels like a lifetime. So I'm really excited to talk about someone who actually is new to the Salesforce platform in general and wants to talk to me about the state of generative AI on the Einstein 1 platform. So tell me, Charles.
Yeah. So the state of the generative AI platform on Salesforce is looking up. For one, since I've been here, and I've only been here for about 6 months, there have been so many different features that have been shipped. From my perspective, I've seen a lot of really great stuff from the generative AI part of the Einstein 1 platform. There's really good stuff happening on the conversational end. That's like Einstein Copilot, for example. But what I want to focus on today are some of the things that we've seen from the generative AI stack of the Einstein 1 platform, specifically Prompt Builder, which launched with the platform, and then the Models API. So Prompt Builder is essentially a tool that allows you to inject generative AI into your business processes to simplify and enhance tasks. And the way that I would probably describe it is like, think about it as the equivalent of like Flow Builder, where you can, without having to know how to code, without having to do a bunch of integrations, you can, use low code and like tools to kind of build an automation. Prompt Builder is the generative AI side of that, where as opposed to having to integrate with a bunch of different large language model providers and such, you can just use Prompt Builder and focus on your use case, focus on prompts that you want to send to large language models, and Salesforce just kind of does the rest. And there's a lot of really cool stuff that's coming out of Prompt Builder and a lot of cool things that I've been able to build with Prompt Builder. So excited to talk about that.
So what is one of those examples that you just mentioned that get you really excited about Prompt Builder?
Yes. So one of the use cases that I've used Prompt Builder for is summarizing cases automatically. So I used to work in support. I started my career in support. And one of the things that I always had to do when I finished a support case was to, one, summarize what happened, and then, two, actually categorize the case so that you can do like metrics and analytics. And so when I saw a Prompt Builder, I saw like a use case to be able to do those things consistently and automatically. And so I built a Prompt Builder template that allows me to look at a case's subject, look at its description, look at some metadata around the case, and then use that to create a quick summary, and then also consistently categorize the case, the case's type, and maybe the case's reason based on the inputs that were given to the model. It's something that you can do relatively simply, like really simply, with just like Prompt Builder and Flows, for example. So that's one thing I've done.
Cool. I think that's a great example on just how to use your past working experience, actually, to identify what can be a use case for generative AI. Because I think that's what I'm, what I heard at least, and sometimes I'm hearing still from some people like, where am I going to use this actually? What is the right thing? And as you provided in your introduction, it's actually about finding the business cases for generative AI. And you just pulled it basically from your work experience, which I think is pretty cool. Now, you mentioned earlier today in this short episode so far that it's really about providing a simple, intuitive interface to people who are going to build generative AI into the applications compared to building everything from scratch. Now, some of this is interacting with, some of the well-known model providers like OpenAI, Azure OpenAI, and so forth. What do you think is special about that in terms of Prompt Builder and those external models?
Yeah, so there's a few things that I think that makes Prompt Builder special. The first is just the fact that you have a single place, like a single gateway, where you can interact with a variety of different models without having to integrate them all yourself. So as a developer, when you're building generative AI solutions, you oftentimes have to think about how am I going to code up a service that allows me to be able to switch in and switch out different model providers, right? And that's like software engineering time, that's software engineering effort and architecture. And every time you want to integrate with a new provider, you either have to ensure that you have architected your code in such a way that it's easy to just kind of drop in a new provider, or you have to do the plumbing all over again, right? But with Prompt Builder, the really cool thing is that you don't have to do any of that. It's just a drop-down menu. So if you want to use, say, OpenAI GPT 3.5, which is an older model, a simpler model, but really good for more basic generative tasks because it happens to be faster, you can just select it. If you want to use OpenAI GPT-4 with, say, a bigger context window, so that might be GPT-4 32K, with 32K representing the size of the context window, you don't have to, you can just pick it, right? And if you want to use Microsoft Azure's version, which is the different provider, again, it's just a drop-down menu. So being able to have multiple models available to you with just a drop-down menu is less work that you have to worry about. And then, in addition to that, you have the fact that it's embedded in Salesforce. So, of course, like what makes generative AI useful is not just being able to give unstructured like questions and stuff like that. It's being able to provide it with like actual data. And so because Prompt Builder is embedded inside of Salesforce, when you want to use a generative AI use case that involves your business data, you can do it easily. And then the final reason is that Prompt Builder is built on that, what we call the Einstein Trust Layer, which is like a secure architecture and a set of agreements with all the different LLM providers that we work with to ensure that when you make requests to OpenAI or Azure OpenAI, they are not storing or otherwise saving any of the requests that you make or any of the answers that are being generated. And so you have like three things that you don't have to worry about: integrations, safety, and then data. And you get all of those things from Prompt Builder. So that's another reason why it's really just a great and useful solution in my experience.
So one thing I want to call out, and thank you very much for this in-depth explanation of your reasons, is one thing I want to call out is like data, right? I think, you know, I think I said this a couple of times, and maybe also the podcast, like there is no good AI without good data. Prompt Builder actually provides you an interface, a rich solution to ground your data in your prompt dynamically, based on the data in your CRM, within Data Cloud, from MuleSoft, and so forth. I think that is something that is really unique, especially in the business context, because otherwise, you know, creating a sales email is nice, but creating a sales email for Winkelmeyer Inc. would be much nicer. Is that, you know, going to be sent out?
I agree. Absolutely. Like being able to pull in merge fields is incredibly powerful. Being able to pull in data from Data Cloud is incredibly powerful. And I think as of like last week or maybe the week before, Prompt Builder actually allows you to inject just like freeform text. So like when Prompt Builder was first released, anytime you would do anything with Prompt Builder, you would have to define a Salesforce object, at least one, right, that the prompt would use to ground your data, as you were saying, Renee. And now, at this point, you can use your records to ground your prompts, but you can also pass in freeform text, which is really great because that's something that people have been asking for a while. So now, if you want to have a prompt builder that helps you debug your code, right, you could do that. You wouldn't have to like save your code in some Salesforce record, which is what you would have maybe had to have done before. But if you wanted to use Prompt Builder to build like a tool to help you debug code on Salesforce for some reason, which is definitely something that I'm planning on doing because I love doing random stuff with Salesforce, you could do it. So you can now pass in data from your Salesforce records. You can get it from MuleSoft. You can get it from Data Cloud via Apex and probably from Data Cloud directly sometime in the future. And then you can also just pass in random text, which is pretty great. So it's really robust and always getting better.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's one of the latest releases actually, is that Data Cloud vector database that was released, like the unstructured access, like unstructured data, which is coming from Data Cloud, which will be provided via retrieval augment generation. So like there's a lot going on. We have monthly releases on all the Einstein features. So it's also sometimes really hard to keep up. But we hope, you know, with this podcast, we shed some light onto this. Now, as developers, we also care a lot about APIs. What can you tell me about APIs in the context of Prompt Builder, for example?
Yes. So Prompt Builder is not just a low-code tool. You can actually take your prompt templates that you build inside of Prompt Builder and use them as REST API services. So if you check out the Postman collection, the Salesforce Postman collection that our teammate Philippe owns, you'll see a request in that collection where you can use as a template to essentially make a request to Prompt Builder from pretty much any service that's connected to the internet. So you could try and test out Prompt Builder by passing in, say, freeform text or a record ID to a prompt template. And basically, all you have to do is there's a particular URL for the service. You pass in the API name of your prompt template, and then you pass in either a record ID or some freeform text, and you can use Prompt Builder from outside of Salesforce. You can also invoke Prompt Builder from Apex, I believe, although I haven't done that yet. So Prompt Builder has APIs. That being said, there's actually a new models API that's in beta this month. Have you heard about that one, Renee?
I saw an internal Slack post from Mo about this. Frankly, I didn't look into it, but educate me.
Yeah, so the models API is really cool. So Prompt Builder is kind of the way I would put it, the way I'm thinking about it, right, is like if generative AI is a category, right, in the same way that automation is a category, Prompt Builder is like Flow, right? It's robust. It's low code. It's low effort. It does a lot for you. Models API is kind of like Apex. It's like lower level. You have more control. And the Models API is exposed through primarily two interfaces. The first one is a REST API, right? Where you can make requests. And the other one is Apex. Now, the Models API is kind of like Salesforce's version of, say, like any of the large language model provider APIs, right? So like OpenAI has an API, Gemini has an API, like a REST API, and Claude has a REST API so that you can use their services in any app that you happen to build. The benefit to the Salesforce implementation is that it, you know, provides multiple models from a variety of different providers. So you got Azure, you have OpenAI. You can also bring your own LLM credentials to integrate with services like Amazon Bedrock, as well as Vertex AI from Google. And it is, let's see here. It's a little bit more comprehensive because it actually provides you a way to solve for three use cases, right? So Prompt Builder just kind of generates text. But the Models API can actually help you build like a chat-based conversational AI app. So it can generate chats. It can generate embeddings, which we can talk a little bit more about that. That's related to kind of like Data Cloud. And then it can also generate text in the same way that like Prompt Builder can generate text. So it's lower level, but it's really comprehensive and it's really cool. Like if you just want to go wild with generative AI and do something really unique, the Models API is a really promising tool to be able to do that.
I think I want to add there, just because you just said, like, we provide basically the interface, the gateway to those generative AI providers. Now, with the models API, you can just directly, well, indirectly, through a proxy, through us, interact with them and still benefiting from the agent trust layer.
Yes. Yes, that is true. I forgot that one. And that's a good call out, Renee. When you use the model API, and this is what's different, right, from doing it yourself, you benefit from the Einstein trust layer, which means that those requests won't be stored or saved, right? And that's pretty cool. But there is an implication to that, right? Which is that you can't, there's no streaming API yet because it goes through the Einstein trust layer. Not a bad thing. I don't really think the streaming API matters that much, but it is something people ask about.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. You know, it's like for the quote-unquote more interactive way, but also, you know, frankly, I think, you know, when we see some of the response times from the models, it doesn't really matter if it's streaming or not, right? I think, you know, when we look at some of the newer models, let's say for a GPT-4o, they are fast enough. That's great. But sometimes you still have to wait. But I think, and again, the benefit of the antitrust layer really with data masking, toxicity scoring, and so forth, really puts more weight onto the benefit side for this, which I think is really great.
It is. It is. And, you know, I've always thought of like the whole streaming thing, right? It's just because large language model responses are just slower than we're accustomed to in general. Like, that's true if you interact with them directly. And so streaming's just a way to, like, kind of like cognitively for a user to feel like the thing is happening, right? You could program in it to look like it's streaming if you wanted to. Of course, that would add like kind of additional latency, but if that's what people have come to expect from, you know, language models, you can absolutely do it. But me personally, I've never really cared for the streaming thing. It's like the bot is typing to me. It's a little weird, to be honest. I don't know.
Yes, like one of those messaging app, no matter what it is, it's like, oh, he's typing, she's typing, they are typing. And then you're just waiting until something appears, right? So I rather want to have a spinner of death that actually shows me, oh yeah, you know, that's fine. It's doing something. Cool. Charles, thank you very much. I very much love the conversation and learn some new things from you. We'll definitely put some of the resources into the show notes, like, for example, the new Einstein 1 Studio Dev Center, actually. I'll link to the new Models API, which I'm beta, which you, I think, should actually test, because that's what we do as developers. We want to get hands-on and figure it out if we can use it or not, or should use it. And I think it's a really great step. It also shows, actually, the openness of the Gen AI ecosystem within Salesforce. That's not bound, because you can do what you want on how it fits best your business case, like going from like prompt builder, which is a flow of generative AI, which I think is a pretty cool comparison, actually, to just to, you know, curl it with the REST APIs yourself. Charles, it was a pleasure to have you on the call, and I'm gonna hope to have you back again at some point.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to joining the pod again. This was a lot of fun.
If you're still here, thanks for listening, and head over to developer.salesforce.com/podcast to check out all our episodes. And also check out the show notes, because that's where you will find all the great links to provide you more information and insights about all the topics we talked about today. Bye-bye.